Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christmas is but a couple of days away, so we know a baby is on the way. For most people, the go-to Christmas gospel is the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us about the women who will give birth. There's an elderly woman, Elizabeth, representing the ancient traditions of Israel. In her advanced age, Elizabeth reminds us of all the Old Testament women who were told that they could not bear children, and by the grace of God, some of them do. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and now Elizabeth. That's the backdrop of Isaiah's words, "Sing, O barren one." By contrast, there is a young woman, Mary, who reveals something new is afoot. The angel of God announces to her that she will bear a son without the benefit of a man. After asking how this can be, she accepts her future and says, "Let it be according to your word." And Luke says the two are related somehow. One day, Mary and Elizabeth meet. Elizabeth feels a flutter in her belly and interprets it as her gestating child is leaping for joy. She breaks into song, which causes Mary to break into song. And pretty soon, Elizabeth's husband breaks into song, and then the angels start singing. The first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke got to be scripted as a musical. But this month, we are in the Gospel of Matthew. And there isn't any singing in the Gospel of Matthew. Maybe that's because Matthew's story is not about the women, it's about the men. As we'll hear on Christmas Eve and the Sunday that follows, he tells about a king, and in the palace, the king has men who are his advisors, and the king receives guests from a far-off land who are men, and the king then sends out male soldiers after the guests depart. And before all that happens, Matthew shines his spotlight on a very special man, Joseph. Joseph, who had claimed young Mary as his future bride. And we discover more about him in this paragraph today than anywhere else. He seems to disappear from the story after chapter 2. The first detail we learn, maybe the most important, is that Joseph is a just man. He is righteous. This is the way the Bible describes someone who is right with God, somebody who lives according to God's instruction, who keeps the commandments. In the Jewish village, he is highly respected. There is nothing he has ever said nor done that stands between him and God and neighbor. And as happens with many righteous people, Joseph has a problem, an unexpected problem. Mary is pregnant. They've not yet been married. She's been living in her parents' small home, so they've not been together. The news is stated as a non-debatable matter of fact. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. No explanation given other than that. And what is Joseph to do? On the one hand, the Bible is clear. There is a law that says if an already promised maiden hooks up with another man in the city, the two of them shall be put to death. Deuteronomy 22. But on the other hand, there's no evidence there's been another man. What should he do? On the one hand, he has chosen Mary, and in the real sense, in that culture, in that time, the whole village has chosen the two of them. You're a good fit for one another. They're intended for one another. But on the other hand, there is some evidence, shall we say, of outside intrusion. What should he do? On the one hand, she is his intended. He is ready to promise away his life to her. But on the other hand, he didn't sign up for this. When her pregnancy is disclosed, which will not take long in a small Jewish village to disclose, that news will be explosive. Everybody will talk. The righteous people in town will murmur and nod their heads in shame. For Joseph, as we've heard, is a righteous man. He lives by the word of God. And yet, on the other hand, he lives in a spiritual tradition that knows the word of God must be interpreted in the ways that we live. Sure, there's that old verse from Deuteronomy staring him in the face, but the Bible has a lot of other verses about showing mercy. So he resolves to live his righteousness through kindness. Quiet kindness. As hard as it will be, he will break this off and tell her to remain at home with her parents. Mary may be full of grace, but he will not submit her to disgrace. Now, figuring this out has been hard work for him. He's emotionally spent. He's mentally exhausted. So what does he do? He goes to sleep. And we hear what happens then. Yet, according to the Bible scholar Ken Bailey, we may have jumped ahead a little bit too fast. The Bible translation says this: just when he had resolved to do this, actually, he hadn't quite resolved to do it. The original Greek word says he was considering this or pondering it. And I know that might sound like Mary's story over in the Gospel of Luke. The angel appears, she ponders it. The shepherds show up, she ponders it. But that's a different word. He ponders. The word for Joseph is enthumamai, which comes from thumos, a word for anger. It's the kind of anger that produces smoke. So Joseph is not merely considering the situation, he is fuming. He is fussing. He can't do much about any of this. And Matthew is cueing us that he is annoyed. And why not? Put yourself in his sandals. The Bible tells about real people, flesh and blood people, people with honest emotions. And as Ken Bailey goes on to say, isn't anger the natural emotion for him to have felt? Perhaps long generations of veneration for Saint Joseph had led to the assumption that he could never have become angry, particularly not with Mary. But as Bailey says, to overlook this is to overlook the pure humanness of the man. on hearing his fiance is pregnant, is he supposed to sit quietly and consider this matter? Or would he naturally feel deeply disappointed and indeed angry? Now, before we rush ahead and said, yes, 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 but in the end, Joseph did what the angel told him. He went ahead and took Mary and the child. Let's dwell for a bit on this very human reaction of the news of an unexpected child. That Joseph was fuming. Life doesn't always go as we plan it. Have you noticed that? There are twists and turns, no matter how smoothly we plan the journey to be. Say, for instance, the job is going well, the career is at the peak of productivity, you've been climbing steadily, the co-workers are actually getting along, and then comes the summons to the front office, we're going to make a change, and it does not unfold as expected. Anybody here know what that's like? Or the son comes home for the holidays, the wife does not come along. She hasn't been coming for a few years. Always a reason, too much work, can't get away, other demands on her time, and late at night, after a couple glasses of wine, the son confesses she won't be coming, not ever. We're splitting in different directions. Mother blurts out, but she's gotta come. We are scheduled for a family portrait this morning. That night she tosses and turns, can't get any sleep. She's fuming. Do you know what it's like to have your very ordered plans disrupted? I mean, this week is the classic test case week. You plan the Christmas dinner for 5 o'clock. The phone call comes, she won't get there till 7, and it's already 4:45. I know dinner planners who have a meltdown over that one. Or what about the complexities of travel? When my kids were little, they used to bust my chops because I would put the GPS unit right up on my dashboard and set it for my parents' home. A little voice from the back seat would always peep up, "Don't you know how to get your mom and dad's house?" Well, it had nothing to do with directions and everything to do with timing. I could know precisely through satellite accuracy when we would arrive. The truth is, that's rarely when we actually arrived. There'd always be some detour, some traffic snafu, some kind of disruption. I can understand why old Joseph is fussing, even in the best of circumstances. His pristine village marriage will be tarnished. His righteous reputation will be in tatters. There will be snickers behind his back as he walks down the street. Behold the righteous man who can't even control his own circumstances. But who among us can really control much at all? I know a woman, an engineer, I'm actually her older brother, who had her babies planned on schedule. And her daughter showed up right on time. The Christmas party yesterday, she was right on time. It fit perfectly with the brief pause in the woman's career. And then she listened to the child psychologist who said, well, 3.5 years between the children is a perfect interval. So number two was planted and planned and charted. And nobody told her the son would show up 6 weeks early and they would have to baptize him in the neonatal ICU. In time, he would turn out just fine, but it was on God's time, not theirs. So back to Joseph. As he fusses about his dilemma, he goes to sleep. And you may have noticed that when we go to sleep, we really can't ever defend ourselves from whatever might pop up when our eyes are closed. Somewhere past our conscious defenses, the messages get in. And the ancients believed, and some still hold, that dreams are one way for God to speak to us. The unfinished business of the day still stirs in our brains, and maybe some resolution comes. And however it happened, that's what happened to Joseph. Now it's his turn to hear the whisper of an angel. Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child within her is a gift of the Holy Spirit. All code language for you didn't produce this child because you're not in charge. That is a most disruptive dream. And I'm sure in his first conscious response, Joseph fussed again. Now, the Gospel of Matthew doesn't say that, but I have to believe it. No matter how fearsome an angel, how clear a dream, there still needs to be some time to work things through. Because real change can't ever happen until we say so. There must come a point where we give in and surrender. And the ultimate test of righteousness is setting aside our personal agendas and accepting what God is doing right here, right now, even if it demands a great deal of us. That's when the righteous person has to decide to live by faith. Joseph is a righteous man. He's a just man. He chooses kindness even if there was an initial struggle. Now he chooses to trust that God will be at work even if his life will be disrupted. He chooses to believe there is a fiercer grace at work even if he can never control or manage it. That God is coming to save us through this unexpected child born to Mary. And when you stop and breathe a little bit, you realize this is the hope at the heart of Christmas. So I hope you have a wonderful holiday, whatever that means for you. I know a lot of you are traveling. I'm glad you're making room for other people to come and take your pew. I hope you have a safe journey if you're journeying, or others are journeying here. I hope you have joyful gatherings of loved ones, abundant celebrations worthy of the holy day. I just hope it's spectacular. But may I suggest that you also prepare to receive the unexpected gift, whatever that might be. There could very well be something you weren't seeking, or something you couldn't plan, or something that invites you beyond all comfort into the future God is setting before you. And if a gift like that should come, ask if it's the way that God is now calling you to a deeper trust, a deeper belief, a deeper hope that the world is in better hands than our own. For Christ, the unexpected child, is born to save us all. Merry Christmas.